We are starting our last study of Philippians. You got the handout. It's handout number 13. And we're going to look at the opener, a little review from the last time we were together. So let's look at the first of the four questions of review. And this is going to take a little thinking. Tell me the names that we find in the book of Philippians. What are the names that we find throughout the whole book in the book of Philippians?
I remember the church ladies' names, but the church ladies that disagreed.
Okay, that was Euodia and Syntyche. I don't know what her name really is.
Timothy.
Church ladies.
Those were the church ladies that didn't see eye to eye on some things in Philippi. And then we have Timothy was mentioned.
Epaphroditus,
who is the pastor in the church in Philippi, Epaphroditus. The book is written by...
What?
Paul. Paul's name is in there. So we got, what's that?
Nero.
His name's not in there, though.
It isn't.
No? It says Caesar's household, but we know it was Nero, but his name's not mentioned there.
Well, we talked about his name.
Yeah, we did, yeah. There's one more name that we find in the book of Philippians. Who is it? We've got Paul, we got Timothy, Epaphroditus, Euodia, Syntyche, and just mentioned when we talked about the church ladies.
Oh, Clement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was it?
Clement.
Clementine.
Clementine.
But it's Clement. Is Clement a guy's name or a woman's name?
It's a guy.
Sounds like a guy. Clem. I suppose Clem. Clement. All right. So those, you know, when you think of the whole book of Philippians, those are the names of people that came about, that were written down by Paul. The number two, what are the two reasons for Paul's rejoicing? He is rejoicing throughout this book, and he gives two reasons why he rejoices. You got some blanks there. Fill in those blanks. We can all say, what?
The second one maybe is showed concern for him. I don't know the first
put
one.
In congregation.
Renewed.
Renewed. The second one is renewed?
Yep. The second one is renewed concern for him. The believers in Philippi renewed concern for him. To Paul, that's one reason why he rejoices. And the first one, so obvious, so simple.
The church?
The Lord.
Lord.
The Lord. He found rejoicing because of the Lord. And that's Jesus. So that gives us a little something about Paul there, of why he's rejoicing while he's in prison in Rome. And he rejoices because he's gotten word. He's even gotten a gift from Epaphroditus, brought the gift from the...
Sorry.
Oh, I was wondering if that was a fire bell. Okay.
That's pretty.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're all right.
That's a pretty tune.
Mm-hmm. Number three. Philippians 4:13. Fill in the blank.
Everything through him gives me strength.
Mm-hmm. I can do everything or all things through him. Him is referring to Jesus, who gives me
strength.
Strength. Mm-hmm. It's a very good verse for for us for everyday use as well. How many times do you say, well, I can't do that? Share your testimony in church. How many would say, I can't do that? And you're right if you say that, you can't do that. But with God's help, I could do that. It's hard. For some people, it's very, very hard to do that. And for others, it's not so hard. But it is something that we rely on the Lord. Whatever it is, we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. You see, the poor cows, especially the black cows out in the pastures when it's 104 outside, you just feel so sorry for them. And they're not moving at all. They're just kind of hanging there with their heads and their ears a little droopy, which I don't blame them for that. The last one of the opener, Paul knows what it is like to be in blank and to have blank.
Need?
Yep.
Prison.
Need. He knows what it's like to be in need, probably because he is in prison. And also to have
plenty.
You know, and he's had both. And he says that his secret in life is to be blank.
Joyful.
What's that?
Joyful?
No.
Content.
Yep.
Oh, content.
Content, yeah. His secret in life is to be content in any and every situation.
What was the second answer?
Content.
Plenty. Need and plenty.
Yeah, need and plenty are the first two blanks.
Okay.
And then the third one is content. Then we talked a little bit about that the remedy for the commandment that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai, it's actually the 9th and the 10th, had to do with covetousness. You know, covetousness is a really strong desire to have something that you don't have, but you see that somebody else has it. And so you just kind of really want that. And of course, that's where, you know, the catalogs of Sears and Roebuck, when they came out, you'd look through that because you'd see a lot of things you'd like to have. I'm glad they don't make them anymore. You don't really see that today. It's all pretty much, who'd ever think you'd be looking at stuff online? Or commercials, you still have commercials that you see on TV or you hear on the radio type of a thing.
They used to call it the wish book.
The wish book, yeah.
Catalogs, wish book.
Yeah. Montgomery Ward's was another one. That had a catalog.
JC Penney's
was another. Yep. I always go turn and look at the toys when you get those. See what was new.
Well, yeah, and then the Christmas one.
Yeah, Christmas came out.
Christmas catalogs.
Yeah. Content.
Neiman Marcus.
Paul was content under all circumstances. He's been in need. He's also had plenty. Let's go on to today's lesson, which is the very end of Philippians chapter 4. Why don't we just read that? Somebody want to take a verse? We'll start with verse 14 and just read to the end of the chapter. Who would like to start?
I'll speak.
Okay, Norman, go ahead.
In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. I'll read two of them. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you alone.
16.
For even when I was in Thessalonia, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Mm-hmm. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire more to be credited to your account.
I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God.
And my God will meet all your wants according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Is that right?
No.
Somebody should have said, that's not what it says. It's needs. And my God will meet all your needs, not wants, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Number 20, Dave.
To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Might as well finish it off there, Jan.
Oh, greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me, send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you. What makes the church in Philippi so special to Paul?
Well, they've always supported him. Mm-hmm.
They were always kind of there for him, mm-hmm. wasn't they?
So when he had needs more than once.
Mm-hmm. Yep, when we moved to Dickinson, we didn't have a church home. I mean, we rented space in an Episcopalian church in Dickinson. And after 9 years, it came to the point where we needed to buy land to put a church, to build a new church on, type of a thing, which was way over my brain in figuring out how we're going to do that. But I did just write up a church. I wrote up a little letter to send out to the other churches who were interested in the new work that was going on in Dickinson. And there's two churches, I don't know how many I sent out to, but there's two churches that always kept sending us support throughout. It wasn't just like a one-time gift, it was continual. That, you know, when I'd get kind of discouraged, it'd be like, go to the mail, and there'd be a gift from this church, just very encouraging kind of a thing to do. And so that was Botno, North Dakota. It was a youth pastor up there for 6 years that they kept doing what they could do for us. And then a church in Minot, which I go like, I don't know why they stuck with me. I was hoping that the one in Wahpeton would have done something. So when I left to go to Dickinson, but maybe they were mad that we left. But they didn't do anything, which I thought was really odd. But Botno and Minot kept giving over and over again, and very interested in wanting to know what was going on. So when the church started, I mean, the land was purchased and we started building the church, guess who I wanted to go and share the good news with? Botno, yes. And with Minot. And put a slideshow together. It was probably a PowerPoint, wasn't it?
It was a PowerPoint.
Yeah, PowerPoint. So you could show people what was going on. And we couldn't have done it without their support. So Paul, and I think of the same thing. You know, Paul, of course, he's in prison, but just for him to get some gifts from the church in Philippi and from Epaphroditus, the pastor that's there, had to be a real encouragement to him. So I just go on with number one there. It says, a mission-minded church will bring blank or blank to others. What would go into those two blanks?
Joy.
Joy is definitely one. And
that's the only word that would fit in that small space.
Blessing.
Encouragement. Oh, blessing.
And encouragement work in their tests. Encouragement's a blessing. Mm-hmm. You know? A mission-minded church will bring joy or blessing or encouragement to others. You know, and you look at the number of different places that Harbor of Joy supports or is a part of in missions, it's incredible. It's really incredible. And it's, you know, from an island in the South Pacific, Vanuatu, to you got a small island, and I'll just say Africa, where you support to Tanzania, to Togo, Benin, and what's the other one? It's kind of like three little countries together that are reaching the unreached as a part of. But it's just, you know, you can just know that the support that we give or send to these places, to these churches and these missionaries, are really, really important and encourages them. Even if you don't hear back from them, type of thing, but somewhere along the way you do hear back. Do you remember the video we got from the gal in Romania? What's her name? I don't know her name either. I can't think of it. But wasn't that cool? To actually see her and have her talk about what she's up to, what she does, what her day was like. And she's an Iowa girl. She comes from Sheldon. And I think Lickharts are the kind of a connection there. I think Angie Lickhart knows her quite well. But I just thought, you know, what a great... It'd be great to hear from others.
There was a couple we supported that were members or part of the Sibley Church, too.
Yeah. And she died.
Yeah.
And her husband is an African.
Right.
And they had a little boy, I think.
Girl.
Little girl? What's her name? I can't remember.
A side note on the Falsticks are the couple that go to the Solomon Islands or that area.
Yes.
And his grandfather, Bill Smith, who used to be the minister at Los Angeles Lutheran Church, where Don and I were confirmed, mm-hmm. just died like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Great guy.
What is his, the guy that's a missionary with Wycliffe Bible Translators, what's his name?
Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis and Jane.
Falsted.
Yep. You know, and Jane is his wife, and she is from China.
Yeah, she's Asian.
Which is...
They met in school.
Yeah, incredible.
She the one that just had a baby.
Yes.
Did she?
Well, I've had a baby.
It's been a while.
I know she had heart issues.
Well, the baby did?
No.
No.
Jane.
She...
Yeah.
I can't imagine raising a baby down there.
What's that?
I can't imagine trying to raise a baby down there where they are.
It's really primitive.
They even have
they go to a city. They...
Kind of a midwife, maybe? Possibly. I don't know. All I know is I could not have done that. Sharon, you're on your own. Next one there, on number one, it says, do you know what your church gives to missions a year?
No, I don't, but I think we tithe. 10%.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. 10?
No, Norman.
You probably didn't know this, but
years back,
you're giving every Sunday, 10% of that goes to missions.
Yeah.
It
used to.
Well, I mean, it does now. It's 10. Because it was 7% went to missions, and then 3% went to the youth ministry. We changed that this last year because the youth ministry had like over $30,000 in it. And we go like, man, they don't need that much more. And then the missions were hurting as far as being able to give with some of the obligations that they have. So they moved the 3% in with the 7%. So 10% of what you give goes to missions.
How did that much get in the kids'...
Over, must be over time.
Well, it was tithing. 3% was being tithed to that.
Oh, okay.
Over,
for a lot of years,
yeah,
apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's 10%. So there's actually 20% of what is given in your tithe or whichever you put in the plate or whatever. Now we can say the offering box. There's 20% of that that goes to... The other 10% goes to just the things that need to be done in the church or on the church. So, I mean, like last year, the church was reshingled. It's paid for because 10% that is given goes into that kind of a fund. So, I don't know if...
We used to support a lot of local, not all foreign missions. We used to support a lot of...
Yeah, the Cherish House.
I don't know if they ever do that anymore.
Yeah.
Still do.
Yeah. I mean, the list is very long as far as what Harbor of Joy supports.
You used to figure out a certain percent for foreign mission, some for local and some for national mission.
Yeah, I don't know what the breakdown is, or there's a lot that goes out, more so than local, but it's still good. It's very good.
I kind of have a question that,
yep,
Satan is reminding me to ask the question. I'm not sure I should. But in the ELCA, like in the old Lutheran churches that we used to attend, I remember a couple of occasions being on the council, and there was a tithe or a percentage of the budget that went to the national office. What was that?
I don't know what the percentage is or how much, but I remember that too. I was just a new believer, and I went, my home church as a kid was ELCA. And I would talk to the pastor because I knew what it was like to grow up with nothing. And mom and dad would put something in the offering plate. I never knew what that was. They never told us what it was. But I just said, you know, I know the hard work that goes in to the offerings of the people. And this is just a small country church. But I asked the pastor, I said, so where does this offering go to? Does some of it go to like the National Council of Churches? And he said, yeah. And I'm going like, do you know what they do? And he said, what? And I go, they buy weapons for different groups in Africa to shoot people and to... And I'm going like, why are we sending our offering to a place that's given to people who do those kinds of things? And he said, wow, I just do what we're asked to do. And I said, well, I want my membership to be removed. I don't want to be a member of this church anymore if that's what you're doing, and you are doing that. And so, I mean, I got my name removed from that. He said, well, don't tell anybody of why you took your name off the membership rolls. You know, I said, okay, I won't, but I just want my name off. But just really got me mad. I just go like, you should know where your offering is going and what it's going for. Not being told where it goes or somebody else says, this is where we're going to put it. Even though if you knew about it, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't give it.
Was that a Lutheran church? ELCA or America or whatever?
It was at that time, it was ALC.
Yeah.
American Lutheran Church.
I think they call that benevolence. We had to pay benevolence.
Well, of course. Yeah.
The organization. Yeah. And we were assigned how much benevolence we were to pay.
Yeah.
Because I can remember having bake sales to get the money so we could default on our analysis.
Yeah. But you get to, you know, you get down to the details of like, what does benevolence mean? That's what you never heard. I go like, yeah, I want my money to go where it's going to be put to good use, not to bad things.
It'd be interesting just to see a list of all the things that the World Council of Churches does some work. Is there any way, if we looked online, would we be able to see that?
Probably. I mean, it should be a way of finding out.
If you went to their website, maybe.
Yeah.
They might have a category.
I think they support abortion, don't they? I'm quite sure.
The things that should be so obvious that you don't support.
Yeah, I think they support.
They support. I think even something against Jews, against Israel. They're not pro-Israel. They're anti-Israel, which to me is like a real flag. But, all right, we're chasing a rabbit here. Let's go back to the last one. It says, do you know of any places or missions that Harbor of Joy supports? Do you know the mission places that our church supports? And I bring that up because I'm not sure if everybody does. And it's not that I know everything either. But what are some of...
But I think there could be better communication.
Oh, yeah. It's a good way of getting more of the word out to the congregation of saying, hey, this is where...
I don't even know who's on the mission committee anymore.
See, you don't even know that.
Yeah.
Dean, Angie.
It's probably just those two.
Is Jeff still on there? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. I know Dean and Angie Lickhart are on that. And they get together, I think, monthly or at least quarterly to send out in meeting some of the needs that are there, the support needs. So,
do they still support Lewis and Jane? There was talk of dropping them the whole time, I know.
Well, I think they still, as far as I know.
No, the only one aware of that we dropped probably is that gal from Sibley, that ministry.
And she passed away.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know positively, but I just know there was some talk about that.
Didn't she talk in church one Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe even before you.
It was probably even before us.
Yeah. Didn't she?
Yeah. I don't know if her husband has even been back here since she passed away. For one thing, travel's really hard for him, I think, with COVID and everything.
Yeah.
We still get some communication from them.
Right now, I've been wondering, does anybody know where Richard Hildebrand is? He wasn't in Haiti, was he?
No, he's still here. He could not get into Haiti.
Okay.
Yeah, thank
I thought
it
just like yeah. him to be there.
Yes.
No.
We've had to worry about him forever.
Richard, that's right.
And that reminds me, I think he was going to speak on one Wednesday night. I was talking to Dean last night, and I said, well, next month I think it's Reaching the Unreached. I think it's NAPIs. And then October is Patty Griffiths about Next Life Foundation. And then Dean says, isn't there another one? I go, I can't think of it. But that's who it is. Who is it?
Richard Hildebrand.
Yeah, Richard Hildebrand.
He's always a fun speaker.
Yeah, I think Patty just spoke in like May or something, didn't she? She's already done it once this year.
Yeah, she did. April, probably. I think it was, yeah. She's sharing her testimony this Sunday.
Oh.
Patty is. So I'm already, I don't think I need to preach. But I'm mindful of that. Okay, what are some of the missions that we support as a church that you are aware of or that you know of? Let's hear them.
Reaching the Unreached.
There's one. There we go.
Next Life.
Next Life.
Next Life.
Richard.
Richard.
Jeff.
Wymas, Mexico.
Brothers in Blue.
There you go.
Cherish House.
Cherish House.
Yeah,
yep.
The camp?
Okoboji Bible Camp, absolutely.
Well, those people in that island.
I don't know, when I was on it, I used to support a mission that my son has in Turkey.
I don't know.
But I don't know, they may have dropped him.
I don't know.
I haven't seen the list for a while.
There's nothing about
Discovery House. I don't know that. And we used to also have Spencer's Underground.
That's still on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Cherry Center.
I think both of them are still on the list. Cherry Center and the Discovery House.
Oh, and then the girl in Romania.
Gal in Romania, yeah. That's through what mission?
You don't know?
I don't know either.
Oh, what about he works at Ferguson's.
Oh yeah.
Stephanie. I don't know if she's doing mission work anymore. She started a family.
They moved back here, but I don't know if it's permanently back here or if they're going back again.
They were in Spain.
They have like two daughters now.
Oh. That'd be, what's her husband's name?
Her name was Stephanie Fisk.
Stephanie.
So Gary Fisk was the dad.
Oh, okay.
And he was the second.
Like Fisk.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, it gives you an idea. I mean, it's over 10.
We got. We used to support Heather Simonton when she went. Mm-hmm. She hasn't been here.
Oh, Heather.
Yeah.
Where did she go?
Myanmar was horrible over there.
Oh. So that's kind of like Burma?
Yeah.
So. Area? Cambodia? Somewhere over there?
Pretty dangerous place, too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, okay, I just throw that in there just to see what kind of responses I'd get. Or, but that's kind of a little update on kind of what Harbor of Joy does. Your giving where it goes.
And I think that the children's program in this church is a true mission.
Well, that's there. That's definitely funded. The food's funded by the church here. Volunteers, a lot of volunteers. That was one of the things I was really impressed with when you first came here. I'm going like, so who are the people that help out on Wednesday night? I go like, Dave and Jan. You're in the kitchen with all that help. And there wasn't anybody under 60. But yeah, so I mean, there's other places type of a thing, which is, it's one of those things that happens that really nobody knows much about, but it doesn't hurt sometimes just so that people know, hey, this is what it's all about. We're glad that you, if you want to be a part of it, or maybe you didn't even know you were a part of it, but that's kind of where your giving goes. Okay, let's go on here. Number two, Philippians 4:19. Another good verse to memorize or to know if somebody asks you what it is, fill in the blanks. And my God will meet
all.
Now, that's important, the word all. You know, not part. Maybe, but all. He'll meet all our what?
Needs
and not wants. Yep. God's word, his promises, he'll meet all our needs according to his glorious
riches.
Interesting, it's the word riches. What word do you use in your Bible, Norma? Probably not riches. But maybe it is.
And riches.
It is riches, okay. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. How many years have you been married, David and Jan?
66.
Okay, they're heading.
How many?
66.
Wow.
Well, you guys are
61.
Oh,
61. It's 60.
60 today.
60 today?
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
60 today for you? Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yeah.
I think there should be gold medals.
<I know.
laughs> Definitely for you.
So, the rubies don't.
The ruby.
Blue sapphire. Sapphire.
Yeah, you should have a ruby. Okay, good verse. Number three, what is the reason for Paul's travels and why did the Philippian church want to support him? Why did Paul do what he did? Why did he go to the places he went to? And why would the Philippian church want to support a guy like this?
He wanted to share the gospel.
That's really what it is, the gospel. Yeah, he really believed that the gospel was worth giving his life toward. But he couldn't do it alone. I mean, it was really helpful to have other people behind him and supporting him. And you see that in Philippians, the people, the believers in the church in Philippi were really very interested in him. Number four, Paul knew that he could never pay back what he received from the Philippian church. How does he look at what was given to him from his supporters? How does he look at what was given to him from his supporters? He knew he could never pay back. That's very true.
It was a gift.
It was a gift.
It says it was a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, and pleasing to God.
Well, even before
what
that.
What he received from them.
Even before that. How does he look at it? Where does he give the credit to?
To them. To your account.
He's telling them, you know, that God would put in your account, however you supported me, whatever you've given to me, that it is God who will put in your account. It'll be a credit to your account. You know, he always goes back that God is going to get the glory in all that happens to him. It's not, you know, you might say you're given to me or you're supporting me, but that's not it. It's that God knows your heart and why you give. And being you give it to me and how it will be used, I just thank the Lord for that.
Really what he's saying is your reward will be in heaven.
Very good, yeah. Very good. It's, what do they say? It's, passing on ahead? Paying it forward, yeah. You're paying it forward. Number five, who is Epaphroditus? We've already answered that today. Who was he?
Pastor.
Yeah, he was a pastor of Philippi. How does Paul view the gifts that he received from the Philippian church? Now, Sharon, you can say that answer.
As a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, and pleasing to God.
Yeah. What is a good aroma or a fragrance? When you think of a fragrance, what comes to your mind? What smell?
A flower.
What kind of a flower?
Rose.
Lavender.
Lavender?
Like incense.
Vanilla.
Rose.
Vanilla.
Vanilla.
That's supposed to be fragrant.
Fresh baked bread?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that smell. Cheryl, you must get that all the time.
Oh, Friday's driving me crazy.
Fragrant offering. So you knew that it was very encouraging. He was very uplifted when he received something. And he didn't take it for granted. He just would thank God for that. I remember many years ago, we had a guy that came to the Sunday school. His name was Brother, we call him Brother Andrew. And he lived down in Florida, and he just talked to people about Jesus, the gospel, kids, whatever. And his whole idea was this, you know, if you teach somebody how to catch a fish, you do better than just giving them fish. And he was an old guy. And the Sunday school sponsored him as he lived down in Florida. And every now and then he would come back and share with the kids of Satan, like, now here's the guy that you've been writing letters to. He's here with us today. And you got to hear him, you got to meet him, you got to talk to him. And he's just a pleasant old guy. I know he's been gone for many years. But he spoke Spanish. So he must have, I don't know, he came from Puerto Rico or from Mexico. Remember Brother Andrew? Yeah, I do. So that's just a good thing when you think of how you can encourage people. Sometimes it's just a letter. I remember some missionaries that we knew of that getting chocolate was something that they just couldn't imagine. They got a Hershey's chocolate bar. Of course, it would come melted and everything like that by the time they got it, but sometimes they wouldn't even get it. But if it did make it through customs or the mail, if they got a piece of chocolate from America, they would just celebrate. The whole family would celebrate and make that a special little time together. And I'm going like, you know, we can buy chocolate anytime we want. But for them, they can't get that. And so they're going like, praise the Lord for who thought of us to send this. You know, so pretty interesting.
Back to the fragrant offering. A lot of churches used to burn incense, didn't they? During their services.
And
what does it mean in the Catholic Church for funerals where they wave the incense?
Yeah, I don't really know. And sometimes incense burning is mindful of prayer, you know, prayers going up. But I don't know all the symbolism that goes with that.
They do a lot of praying for the soul of the deceased.
Yeah, there's some that they believe in praying for the dead.
Well, you know, the Old Testament is full of burning things.
Yeah. Well, oh yeah, the temple, there was a lot of incense.
Yeah.
So then why are there so many allergies today?
Yeah.
Back then, you had incense all the time.
I think you just suffered through it. You didn't want to complain about it.
Give me a Kleenex. Yeah, but it's interesting to bring up there because, yeah, some places are incense. I don't know if too many people that really like the smell of incense, but you can, once you've smelt it, you know what it is. It's like going through the gas chamber in the military. Once they tell you to take off your mask and to say your name and your social security number, and then you can get out, you never forget the smell of tear gas. And then they also said, and beware of the big tree that's right outside the door. Some guys forgot about the tree. They kept flying out of that door, running into the tree.
I mean,
you can't see anything. I mean, you got all kinds of snot coming out your nose and eyes watering or burning. But you only did that once. But you never forget. Even now, like, I go, I can smell tear gas somewhere. Same way with marijuana. Once you smelt it, you know what it's like. On our honeymoon, stay in a hotel up in Detroit Lakes.
Smoke marijuana?
We didn't smoke marijuana. But I told Sharon, I go like, somebody's smoking marijuana. You could smell it in the hallways, you know. And then even on the boat with Denny Struck on the 4th of July, we're parked out on the lake, East Lake. And I'm going, I can smell marijuana. Somebody's out there smoking marijuana.
It's a sweet smell. I've never smelled it.
No, it's just like burning leaves.
It's like burning leaves?
In the fall, if you burn a bunch of leaves, it's kind of that kind of a smell. But once you smell it, you always remember
it. It's a very hard to smell. Well, maybe we should have a pot party sometime. next week.
Why do you suppose Bruce has got his working garage or way over where he's got it?
Yeah. You don't think I'm just a grown man?
They think it's the high schoolers that are smoking marijuana over there.
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't think it's just a matter of time before it gets every state, isn't it?
No, I think so. Sad to say, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's try to finish this thing. Number 6. Do you believe there is joy in this verse? You gotta read 4:20. Philippians 4:20. Do you believe there is joy in this verse, even though it doesn't mention the word joy?
Yes.
Yes.
Be glory.
Absolutely, yep. You wouldn't give glory if it wasn't something that you were joyful about. So, Kathy, 60 years ago today, what was kind of going through your mind as you knew that this is the day you're getting married?
Well,
were you thinking about 60 years from then?
Well, we had an apartment, and we didn't go on a honeymoon at that time. So we went and bought groceries because we needed groceries. Supply. $13 we spent, and it was everything, you know, like basics and whatever. And today, you know, you see the prices of everything. You think back, and we thought we spent a lot of money that day on groceries.
Yeah.
Did
you have a wedding?
A small one in the church in Cherokee. Because my husband, Don, was working in Cherokee at the time.
Cherokee?
At the Presbyterian Church.
Okay.
That's where I was brought up in the Presbyterian faith.
Ah.
So, and Reverend Goldhorn was a pastor. And I'm sure he's gone.
What did he preach on that day?
Well, the same thing that I do. It's not a light commitment. You are bound to the words that you confess. You have the vows you confess, and here we are, 60 years later.
Yeah.
And I.
And you're still cooking.
And I'm still. No. It was a pleasant day, you know.
Did you take pictures?
Yeah.
Like before the wedding, after the wedding?
After the wedding. Yeah.
After?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway. And, of course, Don comes from a large family.
How large?
He has 10 sisters.
Oh, my.
And 4 brothers.
Wow.
So, that's amazing. And I have a brother. So.
Quite a contrast.
It really was an eye-opener when I got to know the family. They depended on one another, you know, quite a bit. The older ones took a younger one and always had them to get ready for school and do things like that. So, I mean, they learned the value of responsibility that way. And
so there were 15 of them.
Mm-hmm.
15 altogether.
Kids.
Altogether.
15. Yeah. Yeah. But Don only had to remember one name, that would be your brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had to know all of his sisters and brothers. Yeah. How long did it take you to do that?
Well, quite a while. Of course, a couple of them were born after we were together. My oldest son and Don's youngest sister are only 6 months apart. She's 6 months older than what?
Wow.
My oldest son.
Where did Don fall in that family age-wise?
He was the third oldest.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the youngest would be 60 now.
60?
He's 81, yeah.
Don is 81?
Yes.
I would never have thought that. 81. Wow.
And he's the
oldest. That was a lot of children in that amount of years.
She was quite the mother, though. She You know, she gave every one of them attention. Had a very hard life, I think.
I'm sure.
Not the conveniences of having all the washing facilities and what they have now.
Mm-hmm. Well, just mealtime. How do you feed a family like that a meal every day?
Well,
plus clothes and.
Well, she had one of those cook stoves too. It wasn't a electric or a gas stove. It was
a wood burner.
Wood burner, and she baked in there, and she. So. Yep.
She didn't have time for anything.
No. She one thing that my sons appreciated is she always had games, you know, card games and all the things. And so they always liked to enjoy going up there and enjoying the games that she had for them. Well, in fact, when my oldest son went to school, our oldest son, he never brought his papers home. And I said, how come you never bring your papers home, you know, that you have in school? Well, he said, well, Susie and Lynn took them. Well, the teacher sent him home with Susan and Lynn because they thought he was just one of the books. You know.
That they were brother and sister.
Sister instead of
cousins.
Go get his papers up there, and then finally we got that straightened out. They just thought he was one of the bunch.
Wow. Okay, well, let's go on. Thanks, Kathy.
Yeah.
4:21 through 22, Paul ends and sends his letter with a
greeting.
He ends and sends his letter with a greeting. 8, who are the saints that Paul is referring to here? Saints. It says, all the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Who are the saints?
The believers.
Yeah, it's just the believers. You know? Saints, you know, in the Greek would be holy ones. You know, it's... 9, what do you notice in verse 22 that is surprising? Everyone
the emperor's
should be...
household.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you think of them as slaves.
Yeah. Caesar's household. There is something, and of course Caesar at the time, like Bruce brought out earlier, it's Nero. You know, Nero is the Caesar at this time. You think, all you think of is negative bad things in Caesar's household, but here Paul has been able to share the gospel with those that are keeping him in prison and those that probably bring him the food, those that guard him, those that he's able to visit with who knows when.
I think that had anything to do with Nero being so hard on the Christians later on in his life because his household turned Christian.
Could be. Because, I mean, Nero was not really against the Christians at all in the beginning of his reign. It was at the end of his reign. He turned into a real wacko kind of a emperor, Caesar, at that time. But then blamed it on the Christians when Rome started burning. He blamed it onto them. Last one. What does Paul encourage the Philippians to think about in this verse? What does he encourage the Philippians to think about in the last verse?
Grace,
yeah.
Be with your spirit,
yeah.
Yeah, the grace in your spirit.
Grace.
So that concludes our study of Philippians.